welcome to the God is a Geek podcast, the E3 extravaganza. My name is Adam Cook and I'm joined by Adam Carroll.
Yes, E3, it's here.
It's just you though, it's just you, mate. I'm just joined by you.
Well, man, I hope it doesn't disappoint.
It's not going to disappoint because of the games we've got to talk about. And I'm going to just dispense with our normal, I'm going to say it, banter, our preamble, because we have got a lot to get through. This isn't your traditional podcast. If you are not a regular listener, we normally talk about the games we've played, maybe a bit of news, we take some listener correspondence. But this week is a kind of late recording compared to when we'd normally do it, because we want to talk about all the E3 conferences, shows, whatever you want to call them nowadays, briefings. But we are going to start with EA Play. But briefly, because EA Play is technically pre-E3, but there are just a couple of games. I mean, they talked about, let's just quickly say it, so in case you're catching up, they kind of announced ahead of schedule ads that they're going to, like, here's the five or six games we're going to talk about, and they did exactly that, and they were like mini shows, 20-minute shows for each one, and the start of that was Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Well, they actually showed, I think, 15-odd minutes. It was the longest briefing. And actually, there was very little chat. They just showed a good portion of gameplay.
And I think that's a good choice, if I'm honest.
Now, I don't normally bring things like this on the show, but E3, I tend to try to stay off Twitter because it can be... I want to enjoy E3. I enjoy E3 every year. I think if you don't enjoy E3, I don't know what you're doing in games. But there was quite a lot of negativity around Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
No.
And I want to get your take on what you saw and what you thought.
Yeah, so look, seeing this as Respawn, we know the deal. We know who's involved.
Wall running right at the start. Like, that was their little nod, I think, of saying, we're Respawn.
Yeah. And I think, like, when this was announced as that and knowing who was involved, there's a lot of faith put into it. I think Respawn we know what they can do. This delivered for me, and I don't know from what I saw, it just seemed really cool. Like,
I mean, I'd like to play the yin to your yang, but I can't because I completely agree.
But this is it, and I don't know if people are going to complain about it. What fucking Star Wars game do you want?
So I think people missed or didn't pay attention to what they said before the demo. I picked up on it. They very clearly said, obviously, this is a single-player game, and what we're going to show you is relatively early in the campaign.
Yeah, it was alpha.
I'm sure they said something like, he's not quite a Padawan, but he's definitely not a Jedi Master.
Yeah.
They definitely used the word Padawan. So this is early doors where you are learning, I presume, and you've got like some of the early Force powers. You know, I know it's... You know, I always go back to, what was the first-person shooter games? Jedi Academy? Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, I think it was.
Yes, I think that was
where, like, you could choose light or dark side. Mm-hmm. And I remember there being like force push, pull, and choke, and all that. And in this, like, there's force push, there's force pull. There's the fact you can move around. I got vibes of if I know what you think I'm going to say, and I was going to say it, and I held back. I was going to say Dark Souls, but I held back. I got the vibe of this is their Star Wars version of kind of what God of War 2018 was. Like, it's, you know, he's throwing the saber around, he's got the melee, he's got the powers. It reminded me of that. I mean, but this is, people were going, it's another corridor shooter, but like...
Piss off.
I don't know that I need every game to be an open world. And I kind of also, at the very start of this demo, got the impression it was a larger world. This was just a level within it.
Well, there was more gameplay kind of released, I think, over the last day or two. And it just... there's a bit more to it. It's not just a corridor shooter.
No.
But at the end of the day, like, the only real disappointment for me right now is if this game comes out and it's only like 5 hours long.
Like, it won't be.
Like, I don't think it will be either. But 15 to 20, like, give me a God of War length Star Wars game, more than enough for me. That's all I want.
Absolutely.
And you saying the kind of God of War thing, I totally agree. Like, it looked super cool, that whole thing, just throwing the saber around. But I also got a feeling that they really seem to have focused on the lightsaber kind of fights. There seems to be a lot of parrying going on.
That's the Souls kind of thing I was
the
getting
The Soul, kind of Sekiro kind of thing seems to be there. Now, it's obviously not going to be that challenging. I wouldn't think so.
No, but, I don't think so.
I'm in, man. Like, it just seems really good. The sounds, everything is there. Like, and I can't believe it's actually out in November. Like,
yeah.
Do you know?
Like, less than 6 months, we'll be talking on a podcast, having completed it, likely.
I'm really excited. And the thing about it is, just to go off the back of people complaining, there has been a lot of that just throughout this E3, I felt, anyway. It wasn't just within Star Wars. And I'd rather not even focus on that, because I think us, we just want to talk about what we loved, stood out.
I mean, I saw people saying, like, oh, we get this instead of the Amy Hennig game. And it's like, we don't know what that game was, so maybe calm it down a bit. Like, we don't know what that game was.
We don't know what that game was, and we still don't even know what this game is, like, in terms of its story. So,
but before, well, yeah, I'd like, yeah, I mean, we know it's canon. We know it's going to be canon, which is cool, I think. But it also, can we just be a little bit realistic? And, like, Disney own this lot now. You know what I mean? They own Star Wars, like they own Avengers, which we'll get to. And, like, they are super protective and super hardcore about what you can and can't do in their properties. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think there's limits to what they can do. They can't. I saw someone saying, like, oh, well, I'd like to see a bit more dismemberment with that lightsaber. It's like, it's not going to happen in a Star Wars game, man.
You'd like to see a bit more. Like, there's moments there's moments of the saber going right through, like, stormtroopers and stuff.
In Battlefront, like, you hit someone with the saber, they don't chop them in half. I don't know.
It's such a ridiculous conversation.
We should not be talking about the negative side of that game when we're both looking forward to it.
Exactly.
There is one other EA game I want to briefly talk about. I know you're not exactly the most interested in this, but I thought FIFA 20's presentation was very, very poor. They teased FIFA Street as part
That's
of it.
That's what I saw, and even I was actually interested in that, but is there some sort of difference?
No, they didn't show it. Like, that's what bugged me. Is like before. So they showed they were showing gameplay of a lot of these games. You know, in fairness to Apex and Battlefield 5 or V, that they're out, so they can show gameplay.
Yeah.
But Star Wars isn't, and they showed 15 minutes. So they kind of set a precedent of we're going to show gameplay. And then I was interested because at FIFA events, or rather, sorry, at EA Play and beforehand E3 conferences, they never really show FIFA gameplay. They never have. And I was curious as to how they were going to. And as I tweeted, they didn't. They showed all these like live action things and didn't show the game. And they talked a lot. And like all of that talk is kind of... I think it's great that what you say here is what you want to do. But what I got from that impression is that the game's going to be slower, which is, you know, personal preference, whether you like that or not. But I would have liked to have seen the game, especially the street stuff, you know?
Would you have been able to, like, as a football and FIFA fan, would you have been able to, if you saw gameplay, like, tell the differences?
Yeah, okay.
Because I just, in my head, it just seems like they're not showing to you because it doesn't really matter, because it's all about how it feels when you play it.
Again, it's a weird thing because usually EA invite us to go and play the game. Usually it's in sort of late May. And it's usually at a football stadium like Chelsea or somewhere at Stamford Bridge. And they tend to, you're embargoed literally until the moment the FIFA news breaks during E3.
Right.
And you can run your interviews and your previews. And it doesn't seem anyone got to go to do that. So my concern is that they're heading down the influencer route, which is fine for influencers. But, you know, as someone in the traditional online media, I still really like FIFA. But moving away from EA, you know, they also showed The Sims. We're not going to talk about The Sims here. If you do want to hear more about EA, maybe talk to us. If you're a Patreon, patreon.com/godisageek, $1 a month. Tell us what we missed this week and what you want to hear. Maybe we can do a little Patreon extra episode. Moving on to probably the biggest of one of the two biggest ones, and we're not going to go through every single game. Microsoft's their Xbox conference had the most to do because with Nintendo doing their thing off over the side, which we'll talk about at the end, and with Sony saying we're not there, the floor was Xboxes. And I thought it was really interesting that they opened with kind of Obsidian's game, The Outer Worlds, you know, because they bought Obsidian, and that game looks good. But also, I would say, again, not to delve too deeply into it, Obsidian are kind of one of those RPG makers that, well, not RPG, you know, the first person kind of, the kind of Bethesda-y Fallout New Vegas stuff that like Obsidian did, or the South Park stuff. They make RPGs, essentially, that they kind of always, a bit like Respawn, Obsidian kind of have my ear, and I will almost always play something they put out. I don't know about you.
Okay, I know this is a bit of a kind of a shitty thing to say, but I think I'm just a bit burnt out by the visual aesthetic.
Okay, that's fair.
There was a lot going on of that style, even in this E3. Never mind previous games that have come out. It's not something that tickled my fancy, but at the same time, I definitely give it a shot, you know?
Well, going from that, these aren't necessarily in order. These are just things. These are kind of just bullet points that I think are noteworthy. I've written down here for us to talk about. Going from a game I'm kind of looking forward to play, which is actually quite soon. I think Outer Worlds. That's a problem, by the way. They just had a game come out called the Outer Wilds, and it's on Game Pass. And this is a different game by a different studio called The Outer Worlds. Mm-hmm. That's a big problem. Anyway, moving from a game I'm looking forward to playing very soon to a game that I don't think is dated. But a trailer that opened, and immediately I was on the edge of my seat going, this looks good. And then there is a moment in this trailer where you realise, oh, I know what game this is. But then you think, but wait, that wouldn't make any sense. And then the logo comes up, and we are getting a Blair Witch game, Adam.
Yeah, as you... I did the exact same thing, edge of my seat.
In the corner, when you're
in the corner, I just kind of went... That's a bit Blair Witch influenced. And then, as you said, the logo comes up and you're like, boom, okay, weird. This, like, I'm definitely in. There was a point at the very beginning of the trailer that I thought it was some sort of Silent Hill game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that, yeah.
It was like James driving along. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
But the camera made me think it was,
Outlast?
The game? Like Outlast 3.
There was a bit of that too.
Yep.
The thing about this is, I'm super excited, but I think this is going to be like, and this is not a negative comment at all, but I think it's going to be like a £30 release, and it's probably going to be like 4 or 5 hours. Possibly VR, maybe.
I don't want to play any Blair Witch in VR, mate. Not at all.
I think if it's coming out, they should definitely have the option, because it would be fantastic, probably. But I wouldn't play it. I'd be too scared.
Okay.
But at the same time, super interesting, really, like, unusual timing. Like, extreme...
I was going to ask you, as, like, the big horror fan, like, the biggest horror fan I know, is there something happening in the world of Blair Witch that's... Okay, so this is just
not
out
at all.
Left
like,
field.
We had the original Blair Witch, everyone knows. We had a sequel called The Book of Shadows, which was just whatever. Yep. And then we got the kind of reboot that came out maybe...
Oh, I forgot about that.
3 years
that.
Ago, and that was just called Blair Witch. And it was literally a carbon copy of the first movie. The thing about Blair Witch, we all know, it was the impact was so strong because the internet wasn't all the rage.
Yeah, it was the whole thing of, is this actually real or not?
Exactly.
Kind of word of mouth, yeah.
Yeah, so when you see the reboot, it's just a bit stupid. And
I wonder how, like, if this is based on that's probably the reason I never watched the remake, because it's like watching Titanic, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah, well, see, like, this is the thing, though. Like, what we were getting in that trailer is a story of a guy looking for, I think it was, like, a young boy or something. And he has this dog. And, like, that's not really Blair Witch. Like, the Blair Witch we all know is 4 or 5 people going off camping. And then it's just all weird shit going on, you know? Like, having the camera and stuff. Like, I think the Blair Witch is mainly just the tag. But I don't think we're going to get, like, some super, like, in-depth lore of Blair Witch, do you know what I mean?
No.
But either way, man, it was a really nice surprise and kind of, like, cool, definitely played. It looked pretty nice.
It did. A couple of games we can kind of blast through that are noteworthy, but probably no more than that. Battletoads looks all right. It looks like a Streets of Rage-style game. It looks all right. Lego Star Wars, I, like most people, really liked those very first Lego games where they were Star Wars, but I kind of burnt out on them some time ago also. Yeah. So, like, great. I'm glad people are excited. Not for me.
And this is a meaty package.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a good value proposition. But,
do you know? But, yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, that's the best we can say about it. Dragon Ball Z, sorry, I don't know why I said that. I'm a fan. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is the RPG game from Bandai Namco. I would like to talk about this, but I can't because it didn't really show any information about what it is, what makes it an RPG. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it looked very good. Like, in terms of like visual fidelity, I didn't think it looked great, but...
Yeah, it just kind of looked like...
another one of them.
The fighting games, but the view was just turned around, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I don't know how deep this will go for Dragon Ball fans. If it was an in-depth RPG, that's really cool to give that. But the fact it didn't show enough, like, I don't know, like, how... Like, when's this going to come out, do you think? Did they give any sort of, like...
I can't remember, mate. But, I mean, all this was kind of more of a reveal... Because they kind of revealed the name, whereas before it was called, like, Project Dragon Ball Z, RPG. And now it's called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which is obviously Goku's name. 12 minutes later is... I'll be honest, I'll spoil this right now. Probably one of my games of the show.
Oh, really? Wow.
So there's another game on this list... I find it amazing that more people don't make games that fuck with time stuff. Like, the Groundhog Day idea. Like, where there's games like Roguelikes and Roguelite. Like, we have all these games, and yet no one tends to play with the time aspect of these things. And this looked super interesting because it's got this deep narrative of where it looks like a guy is trying to save someone or stop an incident from happening. You can see he's breaking down. I just thought that was a really strong trailer that... really stood out as something different from everything else.
Yeah, I'd agree. The only thing that I definitely kind of thought was a bit iffy in parts was the voice acting. It was just a little bit stale.
Okay.
But saying that, super interesting idea, the kind of top-down view, like, it was really cool. But do you think that this would be, like, an Xbox One exclusive?
No, I mean, it'll come to PC, and I don't think it'll be a long game, and I just think it looked interesting, and it's one I hope I get to play this year. I'm going to upset you now, Ads.
Oh, Jesus.
And you know what's next on this list, and this is a game that I am incredibly excited for, and I really liked the first one, but I think Dying Light 2's trailer at the Xbox thing was a really bad trailer.
Oh, why?
Generic guy, really odd ending. Does he just say, like, my name is Aiden, and it's the end of the trailer, and it's like, so is he the protagonist, or... Because, like, this trailer showed none of what... So the reveal last year that showed this world of, like, it looked like you really impact it, this just looked like some generic CGI trailer, as opposed to last year, where it was like, oh, wow, this looks like they're doing something amazing. This trailer did nothing for me and thought it was a poor trailer for what I think will be a really good game.
Oh, man, it got me completely excited for it. Like, I'm already there for it. Like, I can get what you're saying, but I think I know you probably won't be a fan of this, but the world is going to be way bigger than the original game.
It is, yeah.
But the whole decision mechanic and choosing the sides and all that kind of stuff, I don't know. I think I'm just up for Dying Light. I'm just so up
too,
for that
definitely.
Game again. But... when it comes to talking about, like, a world, there's a game coming up that we'll talk about later on that I was just like, I don't know how the fuck I feel about this. But I'm still, like, super, super excited for Dying Light 2.
I mean, a game that I'm, again, a big fan of, and we won't spend a lot of time on because it's out in a couple of months, Gears of War 5. I see a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, they didn't show any gameplay. They already did that last year.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to spend 20 minutes on a game that's out in September, and like, they revealed a new mode that looks interesting, but, you know, Gears 5 September 10th, I'm pleased.
Yeah.
That's quite soon. You know, they got it. Importantly, they got it out of the way of some, like, November is looking mental, and I think they got it out of the way of a few games in November. Out this week, in fact, by the time you listen to it, I think it will be out, Lego Speed Champions for Forza Horizon 4. Again, not much to say. Really brilliant idea, and a fantastic game that I'll play, so...
Yeah, I thought it was incredibly charming when everything is all... Like, because when Forza came on, I was just like, oh, I might just go out to the bathroom. And that's no discredit Forza, but I don't have that game always. So, like, I'm just kind of like, oh, I'll go up. But then I saw just that tune came out, and I was like, what? And I was amazed that they even made the kind of map, like, Lego-styled, you know? Like, that was really impressive.
I've grouped these together. And again, it's not that we don't want to talk about them. I just don't think there's much to talk about. They leaked before the show, and Bandai Namco have got Tales of Arise, which I'm going to say now is a dreadful name for a video game, and also Elden Ring, which is the FromSoft and G.R.R. Martin combo thing. But they showed absolutely no gameplay for either. Both were CGI trailers. I think both will be exciting to, like, if I, of course I'm excited about Elden Ring, and I'm assuming you're excited about Tales of Arise. I don't know what more there is to say, though, you know?
All I will say, though, I'm excited for both, like, extremely excited. I do think, though, that, like, the leak of Elden Ring really killed that as being a huge talking point.
It would have been a big one, wouldn't it? But then it would have been. Because it wasn't a great trailer, really. It didn't show anything.
I think it was just because the guy narrating it and speaking the words that probably George R.R. Martin has written just made me kind of get a bit excited. I was like, fuck it, like this man, we haven't heard anything from his mind in such a long time, you know? And considering Game of Thrones left off for people like how it did, this was just kind of like, cool, this is like, I'm so fascinated to see what comes of this, you know? Well, but then the Tales game as well. Yeah, bad name, but I'll definitely play it.
Of course. Crossfire X is the game that everyone ignored and is one of the biggest announcements of Xbox's show. Crossfire is an enormous game. It is owned and bankrolled by Tencent, the Asian giant like that bought PUBG and all this, that, and the other. Crossfire is an immensely popular game in Korea. Okay. And Microsoft getting involved with that and bringing it to Xbox is an incredibly smart move because they have always struggled in those regions. And this is a way to get people. Like I say, when I say immensely, but I'm talking, it's one of those games that's one of the biggest games in the world that people just don't even seem to be aware of.
I've never heard of it.
And a lot of people haven't. I've worked with people on Crossfire, like for other sites, and I had to research this, and I knew about it, and everyone's ignoring it, and I'm like, I don't think you people get how big this is. Equally, Phantasy Star Online 2 is probably a few years too late, but it's a very cool thing to do.
Well, I know we both know that Mick from the site, he was over the moon about that announcement.
Yep. A good announcement for Double Fine is the fact that Microsoft now own them. And there's a few little things here. One is obviously that Psychonauts 2 is going to be, you know, still on all platforms. They've said that. Also, Double Fine were going to be publishing that Ooblets game, and now they're not. Ooblets is self-published. So whatever happened with Microsoft buying Double Fine, Double Fine's publishing agreement to bring Ooblets with them didn't happen. So, again, not a huge amount to say. A little bit cringy with Tim Schafer up there. I can't tell.
Did you find... I got a couple of chuckles off it. I enjoyed him coming out and like announcing Psychonauts 2, but just kind of just going, and here's a trailer for Psychonauts 2 and walking away. I know what you mean, but it's just funny when something at E3 happens that isn't like... I don't think that was planned. I don't think what he was saying, but we'll make that.
Yeah, so, maybe. Another one that was spoiled from another one of Microsoft's acquisitions last year, Ninja Theory's game, it was leaked. I felt really bad for them when the leak proved to be literally the same trailer. I will play anything Ninja Theory put out. I will also say, personally speaking, given how much I've liked their narrative-given games, even the DMC story, Enslaved, Hellblade, I'm a little bit sad that they're making a sort of 4v4 hero third-person action game. But listen, I trust them, but just a bit sad that... I mean, maybe those games just never sold for them. So they're like, you know what? We're going to make kind of a third-person Overwatch sort of action game, you know? I don't know.
It wasn't for me, man. Like, look, this could come out and I could be like, okay, I'm definitely giving this a go, and it could be like, I get a couple of weeks out of it, maybe, of enjoyment. But when they announced that, and as you said, they bring up, like, from the makers of Enslaved and DMC, you're a bit like, oh, yeah, like, they've done those, and now they're doing this.
Yeah.
Do you know? But we'll see.
The three biggest announcements to last. Well, I mean, the fact that Cyberpunk 2077 was there wasn't an announcement. Keanu Reeves walking out on stage after his being revealed as being in-game. and then giving us the release date, which we kind of all guessed would be next year, April 16, 2020. I'm going to say now I don't think it hits that date. But I will say it's going to be impossible for me not to be like, come December, Cyberpunk's my most wanted, because I love that studio. I love the Witcher games.
Yeah.
One of those kind of magical E3 moments with Keanu, I think.
It was. It like, everyone at this stage, with listening to this podcast, you have seen everyone's reports on it. Like, everyone loved.
Everyone in the world.
Everyone loved Keanu Reeves turning up. I think, just for us speaking alone, he just came across incredibly humble, and so, in his head, I imagine he's just going, my life has just become mental. Like,
he's apparently just like a lovely man.
Yeah.
Like, you know how people talk about Dave Grohl from the, well, I was going to say, Foo Fighters, from Nirvana. He's kind of like, he kind of comes across as that, but movies. Like, by all accounts, he's just a lovely man. He was almost overly humble. Like, he almost looked a bit embarrassed by
the
adoration.
I loved how he was like, so you wanna hear the release date? And you could really tell that he was trying to find the words for it, you know, because it's video games. It's like, he probably plays them, but Jesus Christ, he's standing on the biggest gaming stage ever, you know. But to go off of that, just Cyberpunk alone, I was so into the trailer.
That was good.
It was banging, man. And like,
I got a bit confused because we haven't seen it for a year, obviously, since last E3. I got a bit confused. For a minute, I couldn't tell. Is that the protagonist? I couldn't quite remember.
I think it is, because they announced the collector's edition, which, funnily enough, I'm sure people know this, but the guy who said to Keanu Reeves,
you're beautiful.
You're something.
You're beautiful. What's beautiful? Wonderful. It was something like that.
Something like that. I can't remember. No.
Yeah.
And they gave him a collector's edition. Like, so it's coming with the statue of that character that we've seen in the trailer.
Okay, so it's probably got to be.
Yeah. But man, I'm so. I cannot wait to see how that game turns out. Like, it's. Being the company that they are, like, CD Projekt Red just have done so many right things ever since just the release of Witcher, you know, like, with Witcher 3 coming out, and just fucking the way they just go along with their community and stuff. It's super exciting.
I have to also say that I'm super excited for Halo Infinite. I'm not a big Halo fan. I have enjoyed the Halo series, not to the point other people are like mad for that series.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a next-gen game, because it's going to be on Project Scarlet, which is their next console. Holiday 2020. It's going to be 8K, can run 120 frames per second. It's going to have an SSD. I particularly enjoyed the Talking Heads, where the guy said, the solid-state drives are going to be great with the SSDs. That's the same thing, mate. I particularly enjoyed him. I don't get how that slipped through the net. Like, that's the same thing. I'm going to say there's no way games will run at 8K 120. No way. They'll do one or the other. The interesting thing for me with this is that they've also revealed, sort of via Twitter questions and stuff, that, so like the Elite Controller 2 they announced, and the Elite Controller, that like the one I've got, will work on this console. They've also announced that it's completely forward compatible in all the games that have come before it. Which kind of makes me think this is, you know how like Xbox One X was their 4K one?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Project Scarlet ends up being called properly, it's kind of not, you know how you, like PS2 went to PS3, went to PS4, and each time it was this different console. It makes me think that this Xbox is going to probably just be called Xbox, the way iPads and iPhones do it.
Yeah.
And will, because if the old controller works on it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We don't know a lot about it apart from the things I've said. And I will say Halo Infinite, as someone who says not a huge fan, something about that trailer gave me chills, man. That really did it for me. It was well done, you know?
Yeah, the trailer is very enjoyable. There's a lot, like, put it this way, and I could probably make a lot of Halo fans angry, but out of all trailers that I've seen of Halo, this is the most interesting one that I have found.
Yep, same.
Because it seemed to add a lot more just character and just passion. I know passion now for people is a word of anger, but like, it to me, it just felt that way. Like, I was into that like that dude who was in that ship, I was like, cool. And I, for some weird reason, thought when he got the suit that this was where it all started.
Right.
And I was like, what is this? The guy who wears the fucking suit the whole time? Either way, it's too late. I'm never going to like probably play it because I've just not played the previous Halo games, really. But with the announcement of the Project Scarlet, one thing I have to say is when they were giving you that like video clip of
heads, yeah.
of everyone talking, I gotta say that like yeah, look, it's scripted, right? But they all came across so fucking confident in what they were going
to
bring out.
It's going to be an expensive console, man, because you don't really tend to get the SSDs that they and Sony are talking about. The ones that enable that kind of fast loading are not cheap. They're not cheap. Those kind of drives are not cheap.
But do you think we're going back up to £600? Kind of,
I think five. But I wouldn't be surprised at six. You can't build an 8K 120 frames per second. You can't build an 8K PC for £600. You can't.
Yeah, I know.
You can't. So I don't know. But that's Microsoft's conference. I'm sure we've missed stuff because there was a lot. Ori and the Will of the Wisps next year.
Looked.
How did I forget
amazing.
That?
Amazing.
The game I most want from their conference, apart from CD Projekt. There, that's next year. I think I've forgotten it because I'm trying to forget that it's now next year because I've really had this funny feeling that would be one of those, and it's out this week, and it wasn't. So,
yeah.
Bethesda, we're going to go through quickly because we're not going to lie to you. Neither Adam nor I are too interested to talk about Fallout 76, The Elder Scrolls Online, Elder Scrolls Blades coming to Switch. Those things aren't hugely interesting to us. Commander Keen looked weird.
Jesus, whatever on that. Like, that fuck.
Wolfenstein Youngblood is a game that's out like next month, I think, or August or July. So, you know.
I do very quickly just want to just very quickly bring up the Fallout 76 thing because I did feel I was wondering what way they were going to go about this, and unfortunately it started off with little small jokes, and I hate that because I'm just like, I would love nothing more for them to come out, and if they're going to bring up Fallout, like, be honest, because they started saying they started going through their games and they're like, you've sprawled across wastelands and stuff. It's like, fuck's sake, yeah, and you've really annoyed people. But they did like announce all these like new expansions and stuff, and I thought the crowd gave them a very easy time. Like, I was amazed that like when Fallout 76 was brought up, there was people clapping in the crowd, and I was like, How the hell are they clapping? Like,
well, they probably worked for them. There are a lot of people in those audiences that work for them, so.
That's fucking shitty if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, but usually the front row is developers. So.
Okay, well, I didn't. They seem to have kind of turned it around in some ways, but, like, fuck that. Like, you know, really and truly, the biggest thing of Bethesda was Tango. Coming out and giving us the announcement of Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah.
Which, look, let's be honest, I was hoping it was going to be Evil Within 3, but I knew it really wasn't going to happen because I don't think 2 did all that well, and it's also just...
But this looks more of an action game. Like, it doesn't look like a shooter. It looks so interesting, cool.
It looks so interesting. Do you know, like, there's certain games you just see and you just go, this looks original. This looks fresh and just really unique. And for the love of God, I cannot remember her name, but.
Yeah, I know. I didn't see Bethesda live, but is it the director of the game?
Yeah, she worked on Evil Within and stuff like that.
Okay. And this is now her kind of project, isn't it?
This is her, and she was an absolute delight to hear her talking about the game, and there's passion in there, man, and you know, I really hope that they keep going because I love what they do, but this is day one for me, hands down.
See, day one for me is Deathloop as well, which is Arkane Studios, the people who made Dishonored 1 and 2, and what's it called, The Outsider, something, Death of the Outsider, and again, this is what I was talking about with the time stuff. This game just looks so interesting. Like, it looks, and combined with how they make those style of games, it just looks, it almost looks like Groundhog Day, the game, and I'm well up for that. but, like, to me, I kind of thought it was coming this year. Doom Eternal, November 22nd. I watched a bit of the gameplay and then I stopped because, like, nope, save. I need this. That looks fucking... It looks so fast. There's loads of new enemies, loads of new weapons. It looks like they've gone heavy with the traversal and the movement stuff. Like,
Watching Doom Eternal, and if you've played the first one and you're a fan, if you watch any gameplay of Eternal, you just know straight away it's going to be great.
Yep.
And it just looks great.
That's this year. That won't slip, yeah. I don't think. That looks done.
Yeah.
That's kind overall, of Bethesda. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, overall, I will say, like, Bethesda was a bit of a disappointment.
No, they've got the thing is, I think they try and spread it over too long of a period. They've got some terrific games, but they spread it over this lengthy thing, and I don't know. I have to say, I think Ubisoft was also a disappointment.
Yep.
There's no point in us talking about Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Chris went to see that. I'm surprised. Now we know. I mean, I'm just going to run the names of the games down, right? So Watch Dogs Legion will come to Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Roller Champions, The Division 2, Rainbow Six, Uplay Plus, Gods and Monsters, and I think there was some Just Dance stuff. Given that they knew that was what their lineup was going to be, I'm surprised they revealed Breakpoint before E3. I'm still interested in that game. The Division 2, we aren't going to bother wasting time on because it's The Division 2. Rainbow Six Quarantine, I think, looks interesting because I'm up for that. It's a Left 4 Dead style game. I'll always try those. Uplay Plus, there's an article on the site about it. Maybe one subscription too many. I don't know about you, but Roller Champions looked interesting. A bit of fun.
Yeah.
Different, but
fine, I guess.
Didn't light my fire.
Yeah. Man, this Ubisoft conference was one of their poorest in quite some time. There was very little, like, energy put into it. It was just, they didn't have much to show off.
They didn't even show Skull and Bones. They didn't show Beyond Good and Evil 2, but they did say that. We can't really even talk about Gods and Monsters because although it looked colourful and interesting, that was just a tease of this is coming. The only game I feel we can really talk about is Watch Dogs Legion. Now, I loved Watch Dogs 2, and everything they showed that I saw of Watch Dogs Legion blew my mind and looked amazing. The problem I've got with that game is a kind of specific one, and I wonder if you picked up on this too. Some of that voice work's bad. My family's both my parents were born and bred in London. Yes, people talk like Danny Dyer in real life, but I feel like they've missed a trick because while it looks like they've precisely gone in there and gone, right, the thing about London is, like, there are people of multinational, different skin coloured people, there are old people, there are young people. What I think they've missed about London from what they showed in that demo is that not everyone in London is from London.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
I was thinking about our mutual friend, Mr. Colin Ahern, who lives in London and is not from London, but he lives in London. And I'm kind of hoping that it just happened to be the way the trailer fell together that everyone was like, "Oh, Gavin, how's it going?" And even Granny was like, "Oh, are you going to fucking die?" You know, I hope there are people of different accents and the backgrounds are not just all Danny Dyer cheeky Cockneys because that isn't London.
Oh, well, like,
that's hard to tell, man. That someone who doesn't know London, you know what I mean?
But that's it. But I imagine if the game was set in fucking Ireland, you'd have a lot
that's
of like.
That's the thing, though. And I'm wondering, though, are all the games we play where they're all like Americans, is this how it feels? Because I watched that and I was like, oh, I love Watch Dogs 2. This looks so good. It looks beautiful. Like, it looks fun. And every time the accents were like, it was almost like, we don't sound like that, all of us. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I also am slightly concerned that Watch Dogs 2 was very colourful and sort of kind of. Yes, there was death and killing, but it was kind of upbeat, wasn't it?
I'll be honest, no. I'm a big fan of both Watch Dogs, and I've been super excited for this for when it got just announced, just like I think 2 days before the show.
Yeah, or leaked. Yeah. Oh no, it did get announced. Yeah.
so, like, you had the granny and stuff going around the place, which is, it is funny.
It is, but it's not that funny, is it?
It's not that fucking funny, and I think...
Really not.
That's testing the water for the franchise to go down a Saints Row route, if it ever truly, like...
See, I did, yeah, but that not this game.
Yeah,
like, this game looked dark and like they look like they're going away from that to me. But then they got the granny, I suppose.
You're going post Brexit, and look, maybe it's just because you live in the UK. I live very close to it, and we know the effects of Brexit that will come into place. Not to get into that conversation right now, but what I'm saying is there's parts of the game, and I know some people are like, oh, come on, no, but. I'm going to sound like an old fart, but I thought the violence was a bit extreme.
Considering the rumours were there would be no guns.
Yeah.
Like, I think people were surprised. I don't know, man. It looks as...
Like, the granny going off and turning a guy around and shooting straight into the head.
Yeah,
I was just a bit like, whoa, that's...
But
that's...
as a video game, I think it looks 100% my jam. My worry is, I remember, like, was it Assassin's Creed? Was it with Shea Patrick Cormack?
Was that Shea Patrick Cormack?
Rogue, wasn't it? Rogue? Like, it was the last 360 one before they went next gen. I'm sure it was Rogue.
Yes, yeah, I think, yeah.
It was Assassin's Creed 4 2. And I remember, like, not to bring him up again, but I wonder if you felt the same. I don't know if you played it, but Colin was like, that is not a real name. That's not how names work.
Mm-hmm,
And the accent's a bit dodgy as well. And it's like, I've never... Like, when I played PSVR Worlds, and, like, they were like, wow, I'm going to smash your fucking in all the time. I was like, this... It's
very Jason Statham.
Yeah, and, like, he's acting. You know what I mean? Like, I'm convinced to this day that Danny Dyer, as funny as sometimes he can be... That's not his real voice. Because,
yeah, I know.
Like, dad was as Cockney as they come, but he was more Del Boy than Danny Dyer. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. Like, Watch Dogs 3, day one for me, like, 100%.
I'm going to definitely get that day one. I think we haven't even brought up the actual mechanic that is definitely something to be played with to truly believe.
Yeah, I need to know more about that. I need to know how that works, because that seems impossible.
It fucking seems that you can just be absolutely anyone within this game and you just get all this new dialogue and it's a whole new thing.
So what I suppose they've done is they've created lots of different archetypes, because they showed a trailer later where it's like, this is the brawler, this is the assassin. And I'm guessing those have had like multiple scripts and multiple voice actors record multiple things, versions of that kind of thing.
But dude, like, if you're going into like, if you're picking London, like, how many people live in London?
Well,
are you telling me that I can go around just pick up someone new and just all of a sudden it's a whole new situation?
To be honest with you, we have to wait and see. I find it very hard to believe, but yet people are saying it's true. Reports are coming out it's true.
Definitely the best thing of Ubisoft.
By miles. Yeah. What disappointed me the most about Ubisoft is that they've got that UBR engine that made like Rayman and Child of Light and Valiant Hearts.
Where's Rayman?
And it was a show that was very gritty, brown and grey and war based. And I was kind of desperate. Well, they did Real Gods and Monsters, but I was kind of desperate to see something from that UBR engine. I was kind of desperate to see the colourful nature of Child of Light.
That's a good show,
man. You know, like, they've got that engine, and every game they made in it looked beautiful, but nothing. There you go. Square Enix is one we're definitely going to race through. Crystal Chronicles Remastered, Final Fantasy VIII Remastered. Looks like they found the original game that they could actually remaster it. Outriders they announced, but I don't think we know anything about it other than the trailer, which didn't reveal a huge amount. Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming on March the 3rd, 2020, which they announced before Square Enix's conference. They did show the game more.
This still episodic?
Yes. Because they said in the press release that I received about how basically Midgar is big. This section of Midgar is like as... Well, you think you leave Midgar, remember?
Yeah.
And this Final Fantasy VII Remake on March the 3rd with the 250 quid collector's edition on the Cloud on the Bike is the Midgar section. And that game, they say, is as big as most other games on its own, just this Midgar section. So...
Wow.
Yeah. It still looks good, and I'm still going to play it. But I kind of have nothing new to say on it, if that makes sense.
Well, we got a release date, like March the 3rd.
Another release date I'm saying won't hit. I don't think so.
I think if that doesn't hit on March the 3rd, especially with it being episodic, I think that game is facing problems.
Okay. On Anarchy, I haven't had a chance to catch up and see this. I remember they announced that game before, actually, hadn't they?
Which one?
On Anarchy.
Yeah, they did.
But I suppose the talking point of Square Enix would be the Avengers game, which we've kind of waited 2 years to see, mm-hmm. and still haven't seen because it was a CGI trailer. I think there were moments that looked like they could be gameplay.
It's being advertised as a gameplay trailer, okay. But yeah.
Engine, maybe.
So we have Crystal Dynamics and who else is involved?
Ask you this, right, before I say anything, because I'm going to upset people. What did you think of this trailer?
I'd probably upset people even more. I liked it. I liked the look of that more than any of the movies.
Yeah, I think you might win there, actually. I was going to be upsetting, but I think you won.
In terms of if that is gameplay, and I'm fucking tearing around the place as Iron Man like that, that's definitely more fun for me. And that is what I would play or watch within Avengers because, yeah, wow. Cool.
So,
yeah.
This is going to be such a sound, make me sound like a miserable git. I don't know how in 2019 or 2020, if it releases then, I didn't spot the date. I don't know how in this day and age, shall we say, a property as big as the Avengers, which, let's face it, there's not much bigger on this planet, really.
I wonder, will you say what I think you're going to say?
I don't understand how you can have a game based on the Avengers. Like I say, the biggest, one of the, must be top five biggest media properties in the world.
Yeah, 100%.
Ever, probably. Yeah. I do not understand how you can have that.
Go on.
And have not the voice actors and not the likenesses.
Ding, ding. Correct, because I was going to bring that right up.
How on earth did Disney not insist upon it as part of their contracts? Because they're all still contracted to the series. You know, they're all still doing stuff.
Yeah,
fucking mind when I saw... Because I thought initially this was a bit like DC Universe, where you can create your own Iron Man alike, your Thor-ish mm-hmm. person. To see they are actually the Avengers... but don't look like them, but kind of look a bit like them and sound not a lot like them at all, but like there's a British guy doing Thor's voice.
Yeah, it's when I saw Thor, I was like, Jesus Christ, he looks really weird. And like, you're so spot on saying that because that franchise has been around long enough that you, whoever's fans, they see Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man the same way for me that Conroy is Batman's voice as Mark Hamill is Joker. It will still sell billions, but I don't know how I'm ever going to not be disconnected when playing that game when they don't look and sound like the people I've spent 10 years watching films of.
Yeah, it's a odd one. I wonder, actually, did you see anybody mention that, not to bring up the world of the internet, but have people... Because if there's ever anything that fucking people can get in a tizzy over, it's probably this, I would think. That exact point you're just making.
I mean, Mick wrote an article for God as a Geek that basically sums up what I'm saying. I hadn't read it at the time. I said to him, like, I can't believe what I'm... Because I didn't stay up for Square, so I watched this all today at the time of recording, and I'm watching it going, these don't even sound like them. And then you see the faces and like, oh, they're not going for that. What are they doing?
Yeah. I just hope it's a lot of fun to play.
Let's hope it's fun to play. It needs to be now, but to wait 2 years and then it not be those Avengers is like, okay.
Yeah.
That's Square. Nintendo, to close out our podcast and to close out the conferences for E3, really. These, again, are not in order, so I'm going to just blast through a couple of things. The Witcher 3 is coming to Switch this year.
Amazing.
It's apparently, so it's all the DLC, right? The whole game, and it fits on one cart, which means they've obviously bought the expensive carts for the game and fair play CDPR.
Yeah, and you know... I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna
Are
buy
you?
It day
I'm
one.
Not, I'm not because I do oh, think I'm... that will look bad, real bad.
I don't know, man. I don't think CD Projekt Red would allow that to happen. Okay. With a game that's cherished that much, I don't think they'll do it.
I mean, even if it looks bad, the fact it exists at all is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Oh, geez, I'd say that will make the Switch hot.
Yep. No More Heroes 3 was announced. I thought it was already announced. 2020, that's coming. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 5 and 6 is coming this year. No brainer, really, when the other ones are all there.
Oh, 6 is day one.
Luigi's Mansion 3 is this year, and it looks fantastic. It's got
co-op. It really does.
It looks like it's got some online modes. Like, that series is just lovely, isn't it? And Guigi.
Yeah, I know. This is it, man. Like, Nintendo don't even go on a stage, and even especially this year alone, and they just do this, right? And as soon as Luigi's Mansion came up, I was just like, this is why I love Nintendo. Mm. I just, like, there was, we'll go through this, but throughout the entire Nintendo conference, I was like, yeah, brilliant, fantastic, love it all. Like, that's what E3 is about for me, and yeah. Nintendo were doing that. But Luigi's Mansion looks like, I love too. So I'm so excited for this one.
Yep. No, I'm the same. It was. I thought it was the ultimate trolling to start with Smash Bros.
Yeah,
a Dragon Quest Heroes character coming, and Banjo Kazooie is also coming. That was a great trailer at the end. There's more Smash Brothers amiibos.
There's also Dragon Quest coming this September as well.
Yep.
The Elusive Age one. It's some long title though.
Yeah, like a final edition or something like that.
Before
we get into some of the bigger stuff, just quickly, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 confirmed for July 19th. Fire Emblem is confirmed for July 26th. I'm going to include this because I don't think you and I are particularly interested in it, but Daemon X Machina, September 13th. I'm sure people will really look for that. For me, you played the demo and went into it. I didn't even play the demo.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my bag.
Yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield, November 15th. I think we knew that already. A couple of things they showed in one trailer that I don't think had been announced, and were just like, well, Ni No Kuni had been leaked again for Switch, which I will play that game again on there.
Yeah, I would too.
Spyro Reignited Trilogy is coming to Switch. Dauntless is coming to Switch, which again feels like a no-brainer because it was on everything else, and it's got cross-play. Doom Eternal and the Wolfenstein are coming to Switch. Again, not a surprise. But Alien Isolation's coming to Switch.
Yeah. That was, like, I kind of tossed...
Did we know that? I don't think anyone knew that.
No one knew that, I think, man. And, like, because this was all announced when they were going, oh, and here's what we have coming. Yeah. And it was just a shit ton of... And I was like, Alien Isolation?
What's that? Yeah.
So the thing about that is, I think... That's an amazing decision because I think it's been long enough for people who are fans of it to not only like go back and play that again.
I think it deserved the trailer in the way that The Witcher 3 got.
So did I. I was like, I love that game. And to have it on Switch because it's, to be fair, it's not a short game. It takes about 20 plus hours, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
A great fucking announcement, I thought, and I really hope people like go in on it if you missed out. Like, it's relatively cheap on like every other console now at this stage, but you know, for a game that's this length, fantastic. And like, I hope it'd be interesting to see the price, because if that's like a $49.99 job, that'd be a bit like that's a bit steep, you know, considering how old it is. But it was a kind of just a weird one because, as you said, no one knew about it.
Yeah. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, one of my favourite 2D Zeldas, was December, they announced. Mm-hmm. It's not December anymore, Ad.
Nope.
September the 20th.
Yeah, and I tell you, it looked amazing.
Oh.
Amazing. Like, I... Honestly, the way they made Link look is just already one of my favourites. Like, he is so... charming throughout the whole thing.
Getting an amiibo as well, by the way. They didn't announce it on the stream, but they're making an amiibo of that version of Link, so I'll be all over that.
Oh man.
Also, what was
amazing.
That kind of like dungeon mode they added?
That was the thing.
It looks like you
that I was like
sort of dungeon screens as you play them, and then you can make your own kind of randomized one.
Yeah, like that's really cool if it does go that deep. Because if I'm honest, Zelda being my favorite franchise ever, I would have been happy without it.
Yep.
But the fact that they're adding in this extra content into one of the best Zelda games ever made, I'm like, that's amazing. And September, yeah, I was really... Oh, I just can't wait, man. I just can't wait.
So although we had no Bayonetta 3 on this stream, which is interesting because that was announced ages ago and they're just not talking about it at all anymore, the people making Bayonetta 3 are also making Astral Chain, which is out in August the 30th,
yes.
Very soon. That looks great. That looks really good.
And just to bring up the fact that we never got Bayonetta, I have to say I was a bit disappointed that they didn't announce the Metroid Prime trilogy.
Well, yeah, never thought of that. Well,
I thought they would have thrown it in.
There were a few things. I mean, we can't have everything, but other people I saw saying, like, well, still no SNES games. I guess no Mario Galaxy re-releases or anything. But
like, they did not in any way focus on the online, which was very bizarre, I thought.
True. Animal Crossing, though. Animal Crossing New Horizons broke my heart by announcing that it was what it was called, how it looked. There's loads of little things to play, to look at what the new, like, but it's not coming till March. I mean, I've waited long enough. I'll wait another year, I guess.
Yeah, but Jesus, man. Like, it's hard to not be disappointed. Like, when it came on, I was like, oh my God, it is here.
Yeah.
And yeah, because that game looked ready. I mean,
just before we started recording, they were actually playing it on the treehouse, and it looks done.
Yeah, it's like, just give it to me now. It looks perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy it's out there now, and
we know
that
it's coming
properly.
Yeah, we know its name. It's a thing. It's happening. They showed loads of stuff on the treehouse direct. I'd say go and have a look at it. But that wasn't the final thing Nintendo. The final thing Nintendo did was announce the sequel to Breath of the Wild. You know, just that. You know, one of the best games ever made, the sequel to it. Which I think that looks like they're going to do Majora's Mask to it. The dark vibe, the fact it looked I think it also looks like it's got co-op.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Zelda and Link.
I didn't even think of that.
I think that looks like co-op. Now, imagine if they took the style of shrines they had in that game and made some co-op ones. Yeah. I don't know this. I'm inferring from the trailer, but like that.
I didn't even think of the co-op thing, man. Like, do you know, at the end of the day, this is what they intend the Switch to be about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's a lot of that stuff, like Luigi's Mansion got co-op. You know, Super Mario Maker 2, they announced, like, not here, but they announced, like, you know, you can co-op make levels together.
Seeing that, though, like, I don't want this to be like, oh, it's always co-op mainly. No. Like, I don't want to... Like, what was that? Triforce Heroes. I don't want that at all.
I think it would be Majora's Mask style, like a darker look, like using kind of the assets of the original game.
I thought there was Majora's Mask and, like, Twilight Princess in there. There was just tones of that. At the end of the day, like, it's hard to tell how far off it is, because we didn't even get like a logo. Like, we just got just a font saying
they haven't even named it.
In the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel is in development, and I was kind of like, okay, so we're at least 2 years anyway.
I don't think so. I think it's next year.
Would you think so?
I do think so, and I think it will be...
Well, like, if they're taking the skin of Breath of the Wild, then okay, that's taking a massive...
They will be using a lot of Breath of the Wild in this, I think. I think it will be before summer next year.
Oh, Jesus. Well, either way, man, like, my heart races when I see anything Zelda come up, and I gotta be honest, like, I did say this to a friend of mine, that I was like, Jesus, imagine if they announced like a sequel to Breath of the Wild, and I because it's just something that you kind of think, like, there's Breath of the Wild, now we'll see Zelda again another few years down the line, do you know? To be told this was amazing. And it's a great move considering the earlier announcement that they gave regarding Metroid Prime 4, do you know? So this was like, okay, so that's in development and Metroid Prime 4 starting again, fair enough. But overall, I thought Nintendo were great. Like, they delivered stuff, and there was a lot of interesting things. It's quite amazing, considering it was all just Switch, Switch, Switch. Like, they didn't once at all bring up, like, anything to do with mobile.
True.
There was none of the mobile stuff, considering they've wanted to go down that route. They were teasing it. None of the online stuff. There's a lot that they could... Even to talk about the new Switch, we didn't even get that.
No, that's true.
Which is fine. But it just felt like a new hardware design was going to come. Like, you know, I'd say from the length of time that we had the DSs, a year later, you would have had the DS Lite, and probably not so long after you get the 3DS announcement or rumours. Do you know, like, they're pretty quick on that kind of thing. So, overall, Nintendo were my favourite. And then, Microsoft would be the next then, like.
Well, I'm going to ask you before we finish up, because that's E3. I mean, there will be other things that come out, but mostly that's E3. I'm going to ask you to give me your three games. From all the games we've talked about, from all the announcements, I'm going to ask you to give me your three games.
Okay.
It's not easy because I got four and I'm stalling because I can't decide which one to drop off the list.
Fuck it, right. Look, I'm gonna completely take away Link's Awakening, because I just know that's going to be great.
Okay.
I know it's going to be great, and I'm really excited. And I'm going to take away the Breath of the Wild sequel, because there's
fair.
So straight away for me, what pops is Cyberpunk.
Okay.
I'm going to say Ghostwire Tokyo. Damn it. Dying Light. I really want Dying Light. It's hard to pick a third one. Like Animal Crossing. So Cyberpunk, Ghostwire Tokyo. Do you know what I'm going to say? Elden Ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Cyberpunk, Watch Dogs Legion.
Ooh,
I really think that Watch Dogs 2 was one of my favourite games that year it came out, and I really am.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it is. And I'm so Cyberpunk, Watch Dogs. I'm gonna go Animal Crossing because I have to. But I would say that my fourth choice would be 12 Minutes because I really am intrigued by that.
And where would Luigi's Mansion sit?
That would be probably fifth. But it would be equal fifth with Ghostwire Tokyo, Deathloop, and probably Star Wars. Actually, I really think that game looks good.
It's kind of, that's the part that I hate then, because I consider myself a very big Star Wars fan, and it didn't even go into that, but like what I've seen is amazing. And like I've seen nothing of Elden Ring.
Yeah,
I've seen nothing of Ghostwire Tokyo, so I'm just, but I just know what those games can become,
mm-hmm.
and what previous entries have been. So that's the only reason.
I think 2020 is shaping up very nicely. You know,
it is. I will say overall that I am surprised by certain dates being next year. Like I did think Dying Light 2 was going to come this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. Feeling that. But then at the same time, not a bad, because there's still a lot coming out this year. And even like the likes of Death Stranding and things like that are still to come this year. So there's plenty. For a year that we have discussed this, but I do have to admit that at this stage, this is one of the weaker years of video games for me.
I think it's
going to
pick up towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
We'll get there. I think, generally speaking, this E3 was quite good, considering it was going to be an off year, considering we know... Because the trouble is a lot of the third parties can't talk about some of their games because they're going to be PS5 games, and Sony aren't ready to talk about the PS5, which means even though Xbox are, they can't talk about their games because they're going to be on PS5 as well. So it's actually quite a good year, considering.
I have to say that, like, the year was okay. I think, once again, Microsoft and Nintendo being the strongest. But man, there's no denying it. There was a massive, weird vibe considering Sony weren't there.
Yeah.
There was, it just felt like there's, whatever you'll say about, oh, I'm a Sony fan, I'm a Microsoft fan, I'm a Nintendo fan, there's something about, when it comes to E3, they collectively just feel like one giant fucking machine and a giant family. All these companies coming together and showing off all this stuff. And when one of them isn't there, it just felt like a breakup of some weird way. I don't know. Do you know, you get Microsoft and you're like, oh, there's no Sony, just straight into this. But either way, it was still fun. It's still fun, and I can't wait to just see more of the like hands-on impressions that people will get now for the remaining days. Because how long is it going to stay on for? Another?
Well, it finishes Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. Yeah. People are going and playing games now. We're not there this year. Maybe we'll go back next year. Don't know. Next time next week we'll be talking about games we've been playing. One of which I mentioned this week, but you won't know which one. But one of the games I mentioned this week I have been playing. That's a nice little tease for you. If you're not a regular listener, we do normally talk about the games we've been playing. We normally talk about the news, listener questions, a bit of fun like that. So do come back. And if you really enjoyed it, patreon.com/godisageek. $1 a month gets you early access, extended stuff, early videos, behind the scenes stuff, free codes, just to say thank you for it. Speaking of thank yous, Adam Carroll, thank you for being with me today.
Absolutely, my friend.
And everyone else, like I say, come back next week. Every Wednesday, we're bringing you your slice of gaming goodness. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.